Hi, I'm Pastor Darrell Bailey from People's Valley Baptist Church. I want to welcome every one of you a wonderful Labor Day. This coming year, we're going into an election year. And I thank God as a pastor of over 20 years where I've been serving at, where I've served this nation in the United States Army. I want you to know that I'll be voting for President Donald Trump, a man that believes in life, believes in taking care of the first responders, those that are on the front lines, creating a leadership that is better than there ever has been in a long time. And so I want to encourage you to pray and ask the Lord who you're going to vote for. Who are you going to choose as a leader for this next election? Because mine is going to be Donald Trump. He's the one that should be in there. He's a man of God. And he's the leader, the only one available that I believe that we can vote for. I want to encourage you to come out and vote, and to vote for Donald Trump for the next president, to continue being the president of the United States of America. Amen. I thank God today is, we normally do a holiday message today. I'm going to be preaching a message called Labor of Love. Labor of Love. Now, thank God of this labor of love. It takes us back into the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 28. Tells us about Jacob's experience and how he has made mistakes. You know, today in the labor industry, being a day of Labor Day, it's extremely important today that we realize that God's work is never done. There's always something that needs to be done in the church. I thank God for all of the pastors in Bartow County. I thank God for David Franklin of heading it up. And I thank God for every pastor that has let the Lord lead them and be in a leadership position. For all of our deacons, for each and every one of the body of Christ, there is always something that needs to be done in the church. And so I thank God, every one of us, there's always somebody that needs a helping hand. And there are children all over that need to be taught the Word of God. And there's so much that still needs to be done. And we all must be a part of our Father's business. This Labor Day, let us concentrate on our labor or our lack for God. Because I believe that labor needs to go forth. That labor of love, amen. I thank God as I close out this message, I'm going to refer back to Jesus when he was a little boy in the carpenter shop in Luke chapter 2. Verses 41 through 52, amen. But until I get to that part right now, let's pick back up in the Old Testament in the labor of love. The labor of love, hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 18, amen. And so I thank God as Jacob was starting to experience a lot of things, amen, and learn lessons from them. He was learning about a new life, amen, and a new beginning, a fresh start. A brand new day, amen. I thank God the labor of starting a new life. Jacob began his life after his encounter with God. In Genesis chapter 29, verses 1 through 8. Well, I thank God we begin to realize that Jacob, he went on his journey and he came into the land of the people of the east, the Bible tells us. And he looked and behold, there was a well in the field. And though there were three flocks of sheep that were lying by it, but for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And it talks about how that they were, whenever all the flocks came together, there was the shepherds that would roll that stone back and they would water them. And then they put the stone back in place. Jacob, he asked the shepherds, he said, my friends, hey, where are you from? I thank God, you know, and I thank God one of the things that he said, they told him, we're from Haran. And they answered, and he said, do you know Laban, the grandson of Nahor? And they said, yes, we do. Is this the well? Is this his well? And they answered, look, they were talking to him, they said, here comes his daughter that's coming up to the well now, and her name is Rachel. And she's coming with a flock. And Jacob said, since it's still broad daylight and not yet time to bring the flocks in, why don't you water them and take them back to the pasture? And they answered, we can't do that until all the flocks are here and that the stone has been rolled back. And then we're going to water the flocks. And so I thank God from this experience, we realize the power of the walk of Jacob's labor for love, amen. Because Jacob went on a journey, the Bible said. And I thank God there's power in that walk today when we're walking in the power and the labor of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, I thank God it points back to Bethel. The words that he went on his journey, amen. And he lifted up his feet, praise God. Jacob had dragging his feet from the burdens caused by the gilding of his father and the murderous threat from his brother. And so he had run away from home to get away from his brother. And here we see the perseverance in this journey, amen. The Bible says that he came into the land of the people of the east. Jacob had a trip of 400 to 500 miles to be made on foot, amen. It'll take a lot of perseverance to come to a trip like that, amen. But I thank God all of a sudden there's going to be a new life for Jacob. There's going to be a labor of love. Boy, you know what? If you don't know what you're working for now, you better look beside you. Because that spouse, look around in the rooms, those children, that's the labor of your love. But I'm going to tell you there's a greater even labor love of that. And that is the labor for the Heavenly Father. And it is lacking so much today. I tell you. And so here we begin to realize that life is like this. We often have to walk a long ways in the ordinary and the routine day by day and step by step to do the will of God. Amen. Many folk, they fail here because they don't have the perseverance to stick with a task very long. But if you would achieve anything worthwhile, you've got to persevere in performing well and faithfully in many hours and days of routine of working and doing the joy of the Lord. Amen. And so I thank God we realize that he came into the land of the people of the east, the Bible tells us. In verses 1 through 8, amen. And so how we begin to realize that Jacob had searched at the right place. He was approaching the city of Haran and he noticed off in the distance the 3 flocks of sheep that were lying close by as he walked to meet the shepherds, amen, and begin to ask of the questions. And so I tell you, there's always labor when we are converted and we begin a new life, or when we begin to get a fresh start or make a new commitment to God, amen. There's always labor involved. And while he was waiting on Rachel, Jacob tried to be helpful and responsible. And remember, Jacob was about 77 years old at this time. He had been one of the largest ranchers in Canaan, amen. A very, very responsible man. The shepherds probably were younger than he was. And so here he was starting out a new life and a new place, amen. And so I thank God every one of us, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another as so much as the more as you see the day approaching, amen. Boy, I thank God every one of us as we go. We've got a job to do. The Bible says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden, the earth, to dress it and to keep it. Amen. In all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, or poverty as it talks about. And so I thank God every one of us, as we look at the labor of love, Jacob got subdued by God. Now let me tell you what happened. Jacob got saved. But there was one thing, however, that for Jacob, even though that he got saved, another thing was for him to be subdued. The subduing process would take up to the next 20 years of Jacob's life. You know, some of you, you've been walking in the labor of love in the past, but you have faulted on working for the Lord lately. You know, maybe there's something about you that just has quite not been the same. And here, maybe the Lord is still working in your life as he was in Jacob's, amen. But I thank God, Jacob arrived over at Paneram, a life-transforming encounter with God of Bethel over there, and there was a memorial stone that stood there as a tribute to Jacob's saving faith, amen. Jacob had to work out his salvation with fear and trembling in a hostile world. But I thank God when he went over to the well. Boy, I thank God in Genesis chapter 29, verses 1 through 3. As he went on his journey, amen, and as he lifted up his feet, the Bible said, amen. Boy, I thank God when heavy thoughts burdened him and shut him out from home as he was with a blank and uncertain future ahead because of a vengeful brother that he left behind. He lifted up his feet and he had a new spring in his step, praise God, and a new song in his heart, hallelujah. And he marched along and he held up high, whistling to himself the miles melting away of all the hundreds of miles beneath his laborious stride, hallelujah. North and east he went, following the fertile crescent on its great 450-500 mile into Mesopotamia, hallelujah. As he reached in, an old pilgrim, amen, he's going on his way, praise God. And all of a sudden, as he got over at that well, he found faith at the well. I thank God in verses 4 through 8, we begin to realize that here, even though he was bashful with strangers, the shepherds that come up, as tough as they were, Jacob began to talk with them, and they told him, yes, we know that you're in Haran, and yes, we do know of your uncle, praise God. And so I thank God at Bethel, Jacob had learned what God was like. At Haran, he was to learn what man is like. And until now, Jacob had always been the big man, the son of a wealthy and influential chief, the man with many servants at his beck and call, amen. And now it was different. Well, I tell you, when you got to get out and labor and sweat and work, maybe many of you are working 12-hour days. Many of you probably ain't even getting off on Labor Day today. But I thank God Jacob was now thin-skinned, amen. And I tell you, everybody for miles around knew Laban. And before long, Jacob would know him too. They would know him, and I thank God he would know him for the cost that it was going to cost him, amen. Hard and sharp as flint, secret and self-contained as an oyster, the cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheeks, hallelujah, stiffened his gant, and like a Scrooge out of a Charles Dickens movie, that was Laban, the uncle of Jacob, amen. And so I thank God as we begin to go on with the message of God, amen, that there was faith at the well, praise God. In response, the shepherds almost, as they begin to talk with him, he told Jacob that they had not watered the flocks until all the shepherds arrived, and they gave no reason, amen. And so I thank God as we realize that the reason is not given, but the whole scene impresses us because of Jacob's confidence. And here we begin to see how that he changes, because in verses 9 through 12 of Genesis chapter 29, Rachel had arrived. And with a courtesy unknown into those rough times among such backwoods people, Jacob moved the stone despite the glares of the others. He watered his cousin's flock. And normally the shepherds probably would have shoved in first and left the women to fend for themselves, amen, when they were through. And they must have stared right at Jacob, but they were tempted to intervene and put the stranger in his place that seemed like he was out. But I thank God, all of a sudden, there was something about the jut of his jaw and the solid muscles of his arm that gave him pause. And every one of them, they didn't mess with him. I thank God. And then he conquered Rachel the moment that he did that. I thank God he had victory at the well. Boy, I thank God every one of us. When you look through Genesis chapter 29 and 30, we see Jacob making his own arrangements. He had no thought of asking God about his will regarding the marital and monetary matters of his life when it comes to laboring for love, amen. He was filled with self-confidence and he felt quite capable of handling his own affairs. But I thank God not only was there a walk of Jacob and a well for him there that began to change his young life, but there was a woman at the well as well. And I thank God that's when the labor of love began in his life, amen. Boy, I thank God as the Bible tells us that while Jacob was still talking with them, that Rachel arrived with a flock. And when Jacob saw Rachel with his uncle Laban's flock, he went to the well, he rolled that stone back, he watered the sheep, and he kissed her, and he began to cry for joy. And he told her, I'm your father's relative, the son of Rebekah. And she ran to tell her father about it. And when he had heard the news about his nephew Jacob, he ran to meet him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him, and he brought him into the house. And when Jacob told Laban everything that had happened, Laban said, yes, indeed, you are my own flesh and blood. And Jacob stayed there a whole month. And while Jacob was talking and doing all of this, I thank God Laban was already thinking of some things. But when Jacob first saw Rachel, there was an excitement that was within him, amen. And so I thank God as he arrived at his destination and began to realize that there was providence in that well, amen. One of the most things about Jacob's arrival was the providence of God. God was working with him, amen. And I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize that in the labor of our life today, God is still working, and he's still on the throne doing a great and mighty work for each and every one of us, amen. Boy, I tell you, it's a tremendous blessing as a pastor to be working for the Lord, amen. Here we see of all the things that took place at the well, amen, and what the Lord was doing. But here was a woman that began to get the heart of Jacob himself, amen. And so she was a woman that the Bible says that while he yet spake with them, that the shepherds at the well, that Rachel came with her father's sheep, that she kept them. Rachel's work as a shepherdess reveals that she was an industrious woman, amen. It speaks well of her character. She was not a lazy girl, but she knew how to work, and she was willing to work. Boy, I thank God when it comes to that labor of love. It's good to have both of the ones when there's a labor of love involved, that we're working for our family, we're working for our spouse, that there's someone else that can help and pitch in, and boy, I thank God, help pay the bills and do the work that needs to be of the labor, amen. And so Rachel's meeting at the well with Jacob was the beginning of her involvement with God's chosen people, praise God. And so I thank God, this woman was an inspiration. As Jacob went near and he rode the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, with Rachel was keeping. Rachel's beauty and demeanor inspired Jacob immediately, and he took it upon himself the duty of watering her flock. Well, I thank God, each and every one of us, as we realize that there's somebody that we take an interest in. Not only our family, not only our spouse, but we take an interest in the gospel, that we labor the love of Jesus Christ each and every day, wherever we are on our jobs, amen. And so I thank God. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, relative, and that he was Rebekah's son. And so I thank God. Here's the case of introducing himself to a woman, amen. It was a good example of them meeting, amen. And I thank God as he began to being informed by that woman, and she ran and she told her father. And here is some more good behavior by Rachel. She sows it by running to her father, not away from him, when she meets her guy. Like Jacob had just done, Rachel was also showing respect for the parental authority, amen. The hospitality was involved in Rachel's actions, amen. Her actions reflected a consideration for the needs of Jacob, a courteous manner that responded immediately to the situation, and not some delinquent teenager that's out there today that doesn't have any respect for their parents whatsoever, amen. But I thank God, as Jacob was welcomed, amen, and everything began to take place, it brings us in to the labor of working and saving to marry a loved one, as Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, amen. And it brings us into the Word of God that we have here, that labor of love. In Genesis 29, verses 15 through 17, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Boy, I thank God as we look at that labor of love, one of the first things we see of the labor of love is the wages for Jacob's labor in these verses, amen. Boy, I thank God that he's telling us about. Here, this passage is not dealing with Jacob purchasing Rachel. It concerns the dowry money that a young man gave to the father of a bride, amen. A dowry was not purchase money, but rather it was the proof that a young man was financially secure and that he could take care of his bride. Boy, I tell you, if you're living together, listen, that ain't according to God's Word. That's not the commitment that he's talking about. Then you're living together and then you're sleeping around with others and then trying to make out like you're married and you're taking money from the government. You know what? I wonder how many people does that today. God will never bless you. No wonder, you know, you're probably not being as blessed as you should be because you're not living according to the commitment that God established in America today. I wonder how many Americans are living by these standards today. It's sad, but I thank God during Jacob's month-long stay with Laban, he had not been sitting around doing nothing and imposing and taking advantage of that hospitality. On the contrary, Jacob had been working hard. He had proven himself to be a very capable, worthy of wages. And so one day Laban asked Jacob what he thought that his wages should be. And this opened the door for Jacob to discuss a subject that been a stirring within his heart, the subject of his love and desire to marry Rachel, the labor of his love, amen. Leah had weak eyes. This could mean that she was cross-eyed, or else she had very bad eyesight, or it could mean that her eyes were just not attractive, that lacked a gleam or a luster to them that was appealing. Rachel was beautiful in both looks and form, amen. And so Jacob loved Rachel, and it was that simple. So Jacob stated his desire. He wanted to marry Rachel, but he had no dowry. And so he had made an offer that he would meet Jacob's need for a place to live and meet Laban's need for good and competent workers. What was the offer? He would work 7 years for Rachel if Laban agreed. And so Laban accepted Jacob's proposal. And as any reasonable businessman would, he simply stated that he would rather have Rachel marry Jacob than some other man. And so the question sometimes arises, was Laban entirely sincere in his dealings with Jacob at this point of their relationship? Did he have an eye on Jacob's inheritance in the future? This seems unlikely because Jacob had to stay away from his father's estate as long as Esau was living. Moreover, what good would Jacob's estate be to Laban? The estate, the ranch, the business, the holdings were over 500 miles away. And so when Laban made this agreement, was he already scheming to give Leah to Jacob instead of Rachel? This too is the most unlikely because for Jacob, he had to work for 7 long years before the marriage could take place, and Leah's future over a 7-year period, you know what, would be totally unknown, that she could die. She could become seriously ill, or she could be married by then. It's doubtful that though even crossed Laban's mind whatsoever, amen. And so I thank God as we look at this and begin to realize some of the things, the evidence seems to be that Laban was sincere. He and Jacob obviously had an excellent relationship at this point, both of them being perfectly satisfied with the agreement. Keep this in mind, though, Laban was offering Jacob both a home and employment when Jacob desperately needed both. And so I thank God it brings us to our second part, and that is, and Jacob, in verses 18 through 20, loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. Brings us to our second part, not only the wages for Jacob's labor, but I thank God it was the wives for Jacob's labor as well. You say wives, yeah, because I thank God he was working for Rachel, but he ended up with Leah as well. And I thank God more than that as the Lord began to bless him in these areas. After Jacob had stayed a while in Laban's home, it was apparent that Jacob could stay longer and work for Laban, for the subject of wages was brought up. And I thank God, basically, as we realize that as this took place, that the life for the labor of love began, amen. Well, I thank God each and every one of us, as Jacob used this time of wages to make his request for a wife, amen. And so I thank God. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, according to Hebrews 13:4. The Bible says in Mark 10:9, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, we see the demand for a wife. Jacob had to demand the fulfillment of his contract for Rachel. And I thank God, as we realize about this, amen, there were some things that were deceiving. I thank God, first we see that Jacob was going to try to do his very best to work and to do this, amen. And so each and every one of us, as we go through life today, we realize that there's always a blessing that God can give us from all of these things as well. And so as we look and realize that Jacob now expected to be given the right to marry Rachel, amen. But note that Jacob was the one who brought the subject up to Laban. And so he was probably so excited over the wedding date's final arriving that he was just bursting at the seams to discuss the preparations with Laban. And there was also the possibility that Laban was hesitant to bring the subject up because he was fearful that Jacob might leave and that he just hated the thought of losing such a hard, capable worker. Well, I thank God for those that work by the sweat of their brow and they bring in a decent, honest wage every week. I thank God for our police officers. I thank God for our firefighters. I thank God for our medical staff that are out there today that are working. They're on the front lines, amen. Well, I thank God. They're the people that are doing things in America that's keeping things in order and that's making things happen, amen. You know what? All lives matter. All lives matter, not just certain lives. All lives matter. And I thank God for that today. I'm not saying that, but in a loving way, in a biblical way, that to God all lives matter. There's not certain ones, amen. Well, I thank God we've been grafted into the family of God, amen. And so I thank God of all the things that we look at as we look at the labor of love and how truly blessed that we are with this story, amen, that the Bible begins to tell us about, amen. We begin to realize that here was a great thing, the starting of a new life for Jacob, that he began his new life after his encounter with God. And the labor of finding one's new family, Jacob met Rachel, amen. And the labor of working and saving to marry a loved one that Jacob wanted to marry, hallelujah. And then the shocking interruption to one's labor. Jacob was deceived, and he reaped what he had sown. We see the wounds for Jacob, amen, because as this chapter closes by reporting the birth of the first four children of Jacob, amen, we begin to realize in this story of the Bible, amen, the difference in the wounds, amen. We see the wounds of Leah and Rachel were very different, amen, because here we begin to realize that he was fooled, and something began to transpire, and all of a sudden, Leah was the one that was given to him in the arrangement instead of Rachel that he wanted. But I thank God the capability of Leah. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated and he opened her womb, it means that she was able to have children and did have a number of children. Amen. The childlessness of Rachel. Rachel was barren. Rachel was the third woman of the patriarchs who faced for a time the problem of barrenness. Amen. Sarah had been barren for a long time. Rebecca was barren for 20 years, and now Rachel was barren. All three of these women were said in Scripture, amen, to be beautiful women. Sometimes beautiful women carry heavy burdens that should cause ordinary women not to envy those who possess extra beauty, amen. Rachel finally had children. Her firstborn was Joseph, and he was worth more than all of the other children of Jacob put together. Rachel's barrenness was in numbers, not quality. The control by God, he opened her womb. God controlled the ability of these women to have children, and God controls everything. Sometimes circumstances seem to say that God has lost control, but he's never lost control, even with everything that you see in America today. God promised Jacob that his seed would multiply, and it certainly did. The deliveries from the womb of the book of Genesis 29, the first four sons of Reuben, Levi, Simeon, Levi, and Judah of Jacob were delivered by Leah. And the births are reported in the last few verses of this chapter, along with the instructive statements about the sons of Leah at their birth. Amen. Well, I thank God of all of these things, God began to bless Jacob and all of these things. As I close out the application that will be for every one of us, one of the first things that applies to us is you and I are laborers. You and I are laborers, amen. And I thank God, you know what, as we look and realize that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few, amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us as we go forward. Jesus, it reminds me, was when he was just a child and he was working in the Father's carpenter shop, amen. I thank God each and every one of us have a job that's before us, amen. All the example of parents, they teach us about the labor of love. It begins at home that you see your parents laboring the love for you, and they learn a great lesson that they pass on to their children today, amen. And children are but a bundle of trust that are placed into the hands by God, amen. They belong to God, not us, and therefore we train up a child in the way that they should go, amen. It's a very special thing that Jesus, as he was 12 years old, back in Luke chapter 2, amen, when a Jewish boy reached 13 years of age, he became a son of the law, which meant that he was now considered a man, and he was expected to keep all the law. And it was suggested that a boy be brought to the Passover feast a year or two early so that he might become familiar with the temple and the feast. And when the 11th and 12th year old initiates arrive, they will actually be given a great deal of attention and special instruction. You and I are laborers in the labor of love out there today. And secondly, you see that we're laborers together. Now, thank God, like a team that is trying to accomplish something. President Trump is trying to accomplish something, amen. Unity in this nation is busted apart. There's a disunity that's happening out there. But we need a oneness in this nation. We need a human chain that's locked together. We need a bond that must be the same goal in mind that we're to work together, even in the church, hallelujah. All churches are of the body of Christ like a well-oiled machine that we come together. And so you and I are laborers. You and I are laborers together. And lastly, in closing, for this Labor Day of 2020, you and I are laborers with God. Amen. I thank God. We must be about our Father's business. Amen. God is the leader. He's the boss. We're not left alone to do His work. Amen. He's always with us. I thank God He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And so I thank God, like Jesus, He set the example, amen, to receive our just reward and our payday. Amen. The laborer is worthy of his reward. In 1 Timothy 5:18, to show our love for the Savior. I thank God. I want to ask you, who do you work for? How much time do you put in? Is it enough that God wants you for His service? Amen. And so I hope and pray that this Labor Day weekend has been a blessing for you, that you're working for the labor of your love right now as we come to you out of Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 23. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey sending our labor of love to you in Barco County and the United States of America, and to our next president that we're voting for the United States of America, Donald Trump. Father, thank you for the message. We send it out with love and compassion. And Lord, we pray, God, that you will bless this great nation of ours. Give us a leader that respects life. And Lord, that has an understanding that he'll let you lead him. And Lord, watch over the needs and necessities of this great nation, that it can continue to be a great nation. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you.